Welcome to The Agent Secret. My name's Georgie Wolfenden, and this is the show that is dedicated to making you feel your best, whatever your age. On this episode of The Agent Secret, we'll be speaking to Naheed de Beljon. She is the founder of The Human Method, a new movement system created to calm down our nervous systems. Hi, Naheed. Brilliant to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for asking me, Georgie.
I know most of us in our busy lives, our nervous systems are shattered. And I think a lot of people maybe don't, we don't even know what our nervous systems are. So I think it's a good place to start. Can you tell us exactly what our nervous systems are?
Yes, of course. So your nervous system is your brain and your spinal cord and all of the connections from that into your body and then back from your body into your spinal cord and brain. So it's this two-way communication. But actually what's interesting about it is that we used to think we were a brain with a body, mm-hmm. but actually we're a body with a brain. So there's a lot of communication coming up from the body into the brain. And so that, in a nutshell, is what your nervous system is.
And did you kind of become interested in this niche because you yourself were suffering? Were you feeling like your nervous system had been impacted by modern day life or...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, generally when people come into this sort of work, it's because they're trying to heal themselves in some way. So I was, you know, I'm a daughter of immigrant parents and working hard all of the time was a message that I was brought up with. And what that means is that you don't really know how to switch off.
So was the nervous system something you became interested in because you were feeling burnt out or did it stem from something, your interest?
Exactly that. Most people who get into this sort of work, they get into it because they're trying to heal themselves. So I'm the daughter of immigrants and the message I was brought up with is that you have to just work really hard. And so I did that all throughout my life and I didn't really know how to switch off from it. And generally, when you are young, you can absorb a lot and you don't have that many responsibilities. But as you get older and you have more responsibilities, I had a business, I had staff, I had, you know, a partner to look after and all the expectations of your life that suddenly I was really pulled in lots of different directions and I didn't understand how to be still and quiet, even though I was teaching yoga and I was teaching other people how to do it. I don't think I actually really learned how to do it myself.
Does it start with overwhelm? Is that how you know? Is that a signal?
Yeah, it's kind of not feeling good, not feeling ill at ease, and it's a constant. So even a holiday doesn't fix it, or sleeping a little bit more doesn't fix it. And you realise that actually you're kind of just pushing yourself on all fronts, and there's no joy in life anymore. So I was exhausted, I wasn't sleeping, I was grinding my teeth, irritable. I mean, I sound like, you know, a really unhappy person, and I kind of was, but outwardly I looked really successful.
That's quite tricky, that one, isn't it, for women in their 40s, because everyone around you thinks, oh, tick tick tick,
yes,
it's going really well, but then underneath the wheels are coming off, aren't they, sometimes?
Well that I think we have to examine that going really well, don't we, because what does that actually mean? And I would kind of suggest that if you're not biologically fit and able to adapt to an ever-changing environment, then you're not really well, are you? You're kind of pushing on one front and everything else falls apart. And it's generally women as well, because they're having to be the main carers, the emotional containers for their family, looking good, you know, all the pressures of that, and so on and so on. So there's a certain age that you get to where it really takes its load and you just can't carry on anymore.
Is in that 40s? Thing.
It's generally in people in their 40s, yes.
Early 40s, early it probably 40s. Starts.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you probably, with somebody, you're probably thinking about children or you've had children. You might even have parents who need looking after or a wider family. So, yeah, it seems to be the sort of crunch point. And for me, you know, I had urticaria, which is like a skin kind of allergy sort of reaction, allergic reaction. I had neuralgia. I had, I almost died of appendicitis because I just didn't go to hospital in good time. And the doctor actually said to my husband, you nearly lost her. And so that for me was a crunch point. Yeah, where I just thought, I've got to change my life. It's no good teaching this stuff and not actually, you know, living it myself.
Was that whilst you were running Good Vibes, the yoga studio?
Yeah, it was while I was running Good Vibes. And the thing about running things is that the momentum just pushes you forward. You don't really have a lot of time to self-reflect. And I think what's so interesting about being in your 40s, it's probably the first time you think about how you're living. in a way that you just haven't had a chance to. You know, you meet someone, you fall in love, your career's taking off, everything's been really good, then you have children, and there's no time to kind of think about who you are, who you want to be, and how you want the rest of your life to go. So it's a really interesting and kind of quite magical sort of time that you could harness that power and use it in a different way.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you get out of that then? How did you come back from feeling like that?
Well, I got really interested in the nervous system. And I think everything else that I had been doing up until then was quite surface. Because unless you really examine your life and change your lifestyle in some way, you've just got the same problems, really. And no amount of yoga, it's kind of clipping on yoga and exercise and good food, that's not really going to fix it, because your foundation is in such turmoil. And your nervous system, it's your master system. And if that's not working well, then all of your other systems, they're not really thriving, they're not flourishing. They're just kind of hobbling along while you have that forward momentum. So I did a lot of research. I studied a lot. I trained in Feldenkrais, which is a brain-to-body communication method. It's like a relearning method. I'm very into how we move and why we move, and the neuroscience behind all of the practices that actually work. Because my client, well, I'm quite demanding, but my clients are quite demanding. They don't have time to waste on things that aren't really effective. And I love knowing the how, because once you know the how and the why, you're going to apply it. So,
is that how movement impacts
the
nervous system? You're realising with all these different new methods.
Absolutely. So we evolved, our brains evolved through movement to allow us to carry out complex movements. So when we were hunter-gatherers, we were walking for, you know, quite a long part of the day, finding food for the rest of the community. We were having to organise community, strategize as well. And so that's why our brains evolved. So it wasn't for thinking, it was for complex movement. And I found that so fascinating, because movement and thinking are really intricately linked. So if you want to change your thoughts, change your movement.
That's interesting.
Or move more. And what's interesting about that is, because we were evolved for complex movements, our self-image is made up of a lot more than just cognitive mind. So it's made up of your physiology, your sensations, so the feelings from your physical body, which then go on to form your thoughts, which then go on to form your actions, and then go on to form your behaviour. So with movement alone, you're affecting your self-image. And what's really interesting thing about that is, in your 40s and, you know, perimenopause and menopause, you're having to really reassess who you are again.
Why is my bottom where it was not before? Or
and
my hair
that,
changing?
Yes, yeah. There's all of that. Yeah. So who am I anymore? But also, do I want to be this initial caregiver for everyone for the rest of my life? Because this is killing me.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on in my life that I'm always the one that's going to be destroyed? And it's always a woman, isn't it? To be able to do all of those things, it has to come at the cost of the poor woman in the house. And so it just really helps to allow you to re-examine where you are in life. And I just thought that was really fascinating. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That there was so much more depth to movement than just losing weight or punishing and beasting yourself and all of the things that we think is associated with movement, which is really reductive, because actually how you move is all about how you move through life.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So were all these different methods that you were learning and discovering and interesting, were they going towards creating this new method that was going to serve you but also serve lots of, I guess, your burnt out clients who are often in their 40s?
Yes, yeah, exactly that. So I just kind of gather together the very best practices that worked for me, because if you don't believe it and if it doesn't work, you're not really going to do it. And I trialed it on myself, and I'm a completely different person. I remember when we were moving house recently, my husband just said to me, God, you're so calm. And it's like, it's the 20 odd years of trialing and practicing and kind of finding out about how things work that, you know, really worked on me. And then I've been trialing them on my clients as well. And what I was really I knew I would be able to do. I knew if somebody came to me with back pain, I could help them resolve that. Or if I was helping them rehab from breast cancer, I could help them find better movement. So I knew it worked for all of that. But what was really surprising was the emotional changes that people saw. So now, so much so that I now have psychiatrists who refer their clients to me because talking therapies has just reached their natural kind of end of the line. And again, you can't think yourself out of a feeling state.
Yes.
So when you were a baby, for instance, you would have experienced the world through your whole self. You don't make the distinction of mind and body. And we've all heard that, haven't we? We know that, we've heard it, we understand the knowledge, but I'm not quite sure we really understand how to implement that or access it. And the best way to describe it really is that when something happens to you, you respond with your physicality, because that's how we access and kind of we understand the environment. And so you react to it. So, for instance, the pandemic, lots of people came to see me because they started really closing down here because they were really scared. They were fearful. We didn't really understand what was going to happen after this. We hadn't met this scenario before.
New, yeah.
Completely new. And that went on to really affect their breathing and their confidence and on and on and on. So then I started kind of helping people with chronic anxiety and chronic stress. And just by the very... Actually, there's several interesting things about that, because as soon as you have somebody holding space for you compassionately, already that's doing something to your nervous system.
Releasing.
Yes. Well, it's soothing.
It's soothing.
It's completely soothing, because you're having someone listen and hear you and see you in a way that possibly you don't in your normal spheres of work and home. So that immediately has quite positive impact. But on top of that, how I work is I'm completely online at the moment. And it works really well for that, because people are in their own environment, they feel really safe. And so I'll guide you through a few things, and the very first thing will be breath. So I'll slow your breathing down a bit, and then I'll watch where you're having problems with that, or where things feel a little bit stuck. Maybe your chest isn't moving fully, maybe the belly isn't moving, and then I'll start to guide you through some movements that will help to unstick that. And then your breathing can become a lot more fuller. So it's a process of observing and talking and guiding people that we help to unlock those kind of habitual patterns that you get stuck in.
Okay. And those stuck patterns are creating trouble for the nervous system.
Compromising the nervous system, because generally if you have stuck patterns, you're not really dealing with the stuff that comes up. And so an accumulative effect of that over time, when you're in your 40s and life feels a little bit too much, that then can very easily turn into chronic things. Chronic disease really is, it's been building up. It doesn't start and then turn into chronic.
Yeah.
It's been building up over years. So by paying attention to the signals coming from your body, it's called interoception. It's your interoceptive sense. You can kind of turn the dial up and down as you wish. It's kind of really interesting and really quite, you know, your body has this inherent wisdom and we just don't listen to it. We kind of dampen it down to keep forging forwards. But once you start listening to it, it's incredibly empowering, because you can understand before you hit the wall, you'll understand I'm coming, you know, I recognise these signals that are going to causing me distress or stress, or this is going to happen, or I'm not eating very well, or actually I'm really tired. I'm not fed up with my whole life. I'm actually just very tired. So I need to sleep. I need to take some time out from this.
What would it look like if I kind of started doing, you know, started to do this with you?
So I would love to have you as a client. I often think I'm going to take you away.
Perfect.
And look after
That's
you
perfect.
For a bit. So we would have a discussion. We'd have a phone discussion about what's going on for you, what you're wanting to change. And you wouldn't have to tell me anything you didn't want to tell me. You could just, you know, tell me very generally what you want, what you're looking for. And then the very first discussion, the very first session that we have, I'd want to see how you're breathing. So that's a really simple, easy thing to do with people. And I'd want to show you what the difference is between feeling quite stressed and on the edge and feeling relaxed. And so I'd show you some very easy jiggling and rocking motions, little movements that you would have done as a baby to experience the world before you had, you know, language, before you had mortgages and children and all of the things that kind of tighten us up. And they're incredible movements, because you're discombobulating your nervous system. It doesn't quite know what you're doing. You know, you're not a child anymore. So it's kind of thinking, what is she doing? So it will help to contract and release muscle really, really quickly. So in a sense, you're going in and out of habit. So you immediately feel this physiological release. And if you remember the steps of physiology, sensation, emotions, thoughts, actions and behaviour. We're going up, we're going from the body to the brain, so that through these really gentle movements, we could start to release your thought patterns. Then helping you to breathe, getting more oxygen into the body immediately makes the nervous system feel really calm, regular intervals of oxygen in the body. And then we move on from there. And say if I saw that you were really tight in your chest, then I'd give you some really nice movements that you could start to release that. And I'd be watching you kind of going, Georgie, did you just see then that the movement on the right side was really juddery? Let's look at that. And so it's a really, really gorgeous, revelatory, kind of quite profound, deep care and development. And so you learn lots of things about yourself as well. So unlike, you know, talking therapy, which can sometimes feel a bit wretched because you're having to bring lots of stuff up, this is really kind. It's really compassionate.
Is it quite releasing?
It's very releasing. And it's really empowering because you will then go away. I mean, I give you all the recordings on my program, but you would then go away having some immediate tools to help yourself. And there's a two-pronged approach to it. The first one is that you have some strategies that you can use when you're in the heat of the moment. In real time, something happens to you, boom, you could kind of employ one of these strategies that I've given you. And then the next thing is to actually shift your baseline of your nervous system. So rather than starting up here where you're feeling really jittery, I'd give you practice to do first thing in the morning so that we could over time bring that baseline down. Then over time, you wouldn't react so much. So instead of doing that, we would look to do that.
I'm even like calming down thinking about the breathing, actually. It's quite funny, right? Isn't it? Because you forget how good that feels.
It's so funny. I have a client, actually, who has lots of different, he works with lots of different therapists and trainers, and I'm one of them. And he'll often say to me, it's generally a man trainer who's told him to breathe slowly. And I just say, I think you ought to pay me more because then you'd listen to me. Because it's so funny. There's something about our culture where we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our own bodies and the signals we get from our bodies. And we actually know all of this stuff, but because we think we're much more sophisticated and we live up here, that we just don't realise that, you know, just breathing much more slowly will help to calm you down. But if I tell you why, it's because you're getting more oxygen, then it makes sense. So then you can start to link the knowledge with the practice with the how you feel. And I think that's a really important step in the nervous system learning, that you understand that. So that it's not about me having the power giving you some things to do, it's about you understanding it, and then you can feel the benefit in your system.
And do your clients feel relieved once they start doing it? Is there like a relief and a change, a life shift where they might do something quite radical in their lives?
Huge shift and change. So I have, lots of different types of clients, but the one woman in particular springs to mind, and she'd always been everyone's carer. She lost her mother, when she was really young. She was the eldest. The father didn't talk about it. So she'd suddenly have to care for all the children, and their whole thing was just get on with it. You just have to get on with it. She ended up actually in the nursing profession. So continuing with the caring, putting herself last. She ended up getting really, you know, she was diabetic, she was very overweight, she became agoraphobic. She had a very lovely husband who kind of really supported her. So when she came to see me, the really important thing was to get her breathing well so she didn't feel panicky all the time. And then to get her going outside to breathe and have a practice outside. And then inhabiting her body as well, because she was so scared of life that she didn't really want to be fully present because of the shocks. And she, you know, the feelings were too overwhelming and there was no one to talk to about it. She had her father who was heartbroken, and she had loads of siblings who relied on her. So by the time she came to, she was in her 60s and she had lots of health issues. And by the time we'd finished, she felt, I mean, she came on one of my retreats actually, which is unheard of. But, you know, she felt confident. She felt empowered. And she felt she had some tools to start looking after herself. And she had lots of amazing revelations. And this is age 60. Yeah. You know, those are kind of natural developments that one ought to go through. But she hadn't really had any of those kind of self-reflective moments until her 60s.
There was no time, was
there?
She was too busy holding everyone else.
She was
together.
Holding everyone and pushing herself down. So that's really interesting, isn't it, of how the body then responds. And for her, it responded with lots of kind of autoimmune diseases, because she wasn't expressing.
She couldn't.
Yeah, she couldn't. She felt she couldn't express. So yeah, that's really interesting how you're not just dealing with physical symptoms, you're dealing with the whole self. And I think that's something that's really important to remember when you want to make change. It's not just all about here or all about here. It's this combination, it's this whole system that works together. And again, the nervous system is the master system for all of that.
And I guess because of the breathing, it's like it's working immediately.
It's working immediately. It's a little bit like, you know, you have a garden that's overgrown. And the very first thing you have to do is you have to weed it. You have to kind of put some nutrients in the soil. It's a little bit like that. And then you plant your seed and then it grows.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of really taking care of that foundational bed. And then once you do that, you can build all the floors above it.
Yeah. So if someone's doing a lot of exercise and maybe lots of yoga as well, and thinking they're kind of quite healthy, I guess, how would this be different, a different way?
Yeah, good question. And one that I'm asked quite a lot. So the difference between doing something that you already know how to do and doing something new is that when you do the thing that you already know how to do, you're actually sitting in the cul-de-sac of your habit. Yes. So you're getting very good at that thing. But it doesn't really pull your nervous system out of the shape that you've gotten into. So what I do is I'm introducing new ideas and movements to your nervous system. And that's when the brain starts getting really interested. And that's where learning happens. So, for instance,
challenged, you're more challenged.
Yes.
Your brain is
challenged. Yes, your brain and your nervous system are more challenged. So, for instance, again, going back to the pandemic, if you're indoors all the time, and maybe this happened to you, certainly happened to me. You're indoors all the time. You're not seeing very many people. And then after the lockdowns were over and you felt completely normal, you're really happy to be out and about again. You might have been with lots of people and suddenly had a bit of a like, weird, this feels too much. It's overwhelmed my system. Because you've spent the last 3 years getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And what's interesting about that is you don't age. Well, you do age, obviously. You have a chronological age, but your abilities aren't really linked to that age. It's, you can, you know, I see lots of people who are in their 20s and they don't move a lot. And so actually you would think that they're much older than the people I see in the 70s who never had social media and they're moving a lot more. So it's all about how resilient you allow your nervous system to be.
That's interesting.
And it's with new experience. So the brain gets really interested when you introduce new experiences to it. So really that's kind of very key to my work.
That's fascinating. And what might those experiences be?
Okay, so we would start with breath, and then we'd go to really easy sort of primal movements, jiggling, rocking, all the things.
You know, that, the primal movements.
Yeah,
jiggling.
they're all pre-language. So as a baby, if you were upset, you would have instinctively known, and maybe somebody rocked you. And even if they didn't, you might have known just to roll around a little bit. Felt really soothing because there's something about feeling our edges. So you're on the floor and you can feel, you know, you can feel your skin. That's giving you lots of feedback to your nervous system because it's locating you in space. So two things that are really soothing for the nervous system are your location and time. So putting your back up against the wall, lying on the floor, easy things that anyone can do just to go, oh, I'm spinning out, just get on the floor. Feel the back on.
Or being grounded.
Being grounded. Because what happens immediately, it's a physiological response. Because the muscles in your back, your extensors, that have to contract to keep you upright, now can release. And that immediately has a really soothing effect on your brain and your nervous system. And then the jiggling action, great thing to do. Rocking actions, anyone can kind of do those sorts of things. And it can get more and more and more complex as you progress through the programme. Because then, you know, then we can start to look at much smaller things. So I'm dealing with global.
It's soothing your brain, what's sorting your nervous system out effectively, even though you're doing the movements.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so your brain and your spinal cord are the nervous system. The brain's part of the nervous system. So movement will help to soothe your nervous system. And new movement, unexpected new movement, will help to embed new habits. Because learning is a process of embedding new stuff, but also getting rid of old stuff that no longer suits you, which is why this work works so well with trauma, you know, people with deeply held trauma, because you're learning new things, but you're also letting go of stuff that you don't need anymore. So going to protective states, really good for when you need it, but we need to be able to get out of that. And people who suffer from trauma are kind of stuck into that.
Now that home working is more prevalent, are you seeing more people with these sorts of problems with their nervous systems and anxiety?
That's a really good question, because you... On the one hand, yes, and on the one hand, no. So the benefits of working from home are that it gives people a lot more time to think and reflect because you're not having to pretend to be busy in an office. And the good thing about that is they've realised how much time they lost in commuting and how much time, you know, how frazzled they feel because they have to fit in life and life's admin in, you know, in really short hours and in their spare time. So I think what it has made people think about is how they want to be. It's given them more time. And the beauty of that is they're more susceptible to this kind of work because it's reflective, it's more ponderous, and it asks you to question. And the flip side of that, of course, is you don't have the commute, so you don't have that downtime to download your stuff. You don't have talking to colleagues and those lovely incidental things that happen at the coffee shop or you see the postman connecting. On the way. They're connecting with people. Yeah. So, you know, there's always flip sides to things, isn't there? So yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And what about, can we future-proof our nervous system? So if we, you know, not chronically got a problem at this mm-hmm. point, is it important to look after our nervous system?
Yeah, it really is. Because as a child, as a baby and as a child, you would have been processing your emotions all the time. You know, you don't like something, you go, wah. If you are angry, you hit your sibling and on and on and on. And while you can't do that as an adult, of course, what you can do is you can process the stuff that comes up for you. Because when you're stressed, chemicals get released from your brain into your body. And the most appropriate thing to do with that is move. And shift it out and get rid of it in your system, because cortisol rises. It's your action hormone, and I don't even like calling it a stress hormone, really, because for me, if you regeared it and looked at stress, instead of calling it stress, you kind of thought, well, what's it, am I under threat? Is this a challenge or is this an opportunity? It would be a much more healthy way to look at it, because you need cortisol. Too much, not good. Too little, not good. Because you'd be really lethargic.
That's the tricky bit.
That's the tricky bit. Yes, exactly. So if you're sitting at your desk and you have one email after another, that's really tensing you up. The best thing to do is move, because it's shifting glucose into the muscles to get you moving. So if you remember that connection of movement and thinking and how the brain evolved, there's a direct correlation with that. If I'm feeling under threat, I want to run. And so the best thing to do, you know, I get my clients to just get up and jiggle, yeah. And I get them to go out for a walk and all sorts of things, so that you are metabolizing those chemicals. You're not leaving them in the body, because that can go on to lead to inflammation.
If there was something you could recommend for people to do that would be good for their nervous system, what would that be? One habit they would change that would improve that?
So I really would very strongly suggest that everybody moves a lot more throughout the day. And if you can't get to the gym, that's so not important. It's the movement throughout the day, because you're processing the chemicals that start to rise up in the body and you're getting rid of them. And that will just make you so much more healthier. And so, you know, 5 minutes here, a small movement there, getting up away from your desk, going in the garden. Think about not overloading your brain. Something happens, let go of it, and then move on to the next thing. So I'm all about the transitions, and I kind of really encourage people to really respect the transitions from one action to the other. For instance, when I'm dealing with clients, because we're online now, when I first started, I used to have back-to-back clients because I thought, I don't have the commute. I can just do this 5-minute turnaround. I'll be fine. But by mid-afternoon, I was like, that's really heavy. But I was carrying the emotional energy of other people as well. So what I now do is, after each client, I give myself half an hour. I'll go and garden. I've got a mini trampoline. I'll jump on that. Or I might just rock myself on the floor or do some little movement or breathe or something. Play with the dogs. Just something that helps me to be mindless. Mm. Because mindfulness is still doing.
Yeah.
I want to be not doing. I want to just be in that moment without overthinking, without planning, without strategizing. Without thinking about other people, just to be able to let go of it, and then I'm ready to come to the next thing. So I think it's really important to think about, how can you let go of one action and then gently prepare yourself for the next action? And I would suggest that the best way to do that is with a really calm, organized nervous system.
Thanks so much for joining us, Naheed, and I very much look forward to putting some of your enlightening things to action in my own life.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a joy to talk to you, Georgie.
Thank you.